nation's history. As the ancient banking powers that rule this earth tries to steal our sovereignty. And now this new world order marches in to make war within our land. And once again, Americans, it's time to rise up and take a stand and declare ourselves, we the people of the United States of America shall be faithful and restore our rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny.
The people of the United States of America,
our God reigns and proclaims liberty.
We the people of the United States of America,
we the people of the United States of America.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this March 6, 2024. We welcome you folks out there and we thank you for being here. We've got, I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
And good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Good
morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Remnant, and we thank you for being here. Before we get started, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, and that you be with us, and that you just guide us and direct us in the direction we are to go this morning. We pray that as well, we just lift up this land to you, and we lift up your people to you, and we just ask, Father, that you continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us. Give us more of that Holy Spirit. Give us more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding. And we continue to cry out to you to war with those that are warring against us, Father, that you fight our battles that are before us, that you give us the knowledge and the weaponry to fight the battles that you would have us to fight and help us to fight victoriously. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I wanted to start off with, we just had Passover. And the makeup day for Passover, if you missed it, is May 2nd, 2024. But we had a Passover service and from the LaPorte Church of Christ, and was encouraged that there was a lot of people that heard from that in the past have not kept Passover with us. So that indeed was encouraging. And just in light of things with everything that's going on in this country and across this land and with this eclipse and things that are coming through on the 8th, we really felt that there is a need for prayer. And we haven't called for a day of prayer and fasting in a long time. And I'm calling for a day of fasting on the 8th. And just encourage people with there's so many signs and so many things that are taking place with this eclipse that's going through, named Nineveh, that you know, it's time to that we need to set a time apart and pray for this land, pray for repentance, and I believe that the theme is going to be just, you know, simply that, on, you know, repentance, crying out to God, 2 Chronicles 7:14. I mean, we're right there. So, but we'll be putting together some scriptures and some stuff and some emails and getting some emails sent out. If you're on our emailing list, we will get that information out to you. But I really believe that it is it's something that's important and we need to do. We need to do it as a people. And I've talked to a lot of people out there, and they're worried about, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is, you know, coming down. They're waiting for it to hit the fan and this and that. You know, just want to encourage people, is when we see these destructions coming, it's the wicked that get destroyed. It's not the righteous. And God's always worked that way. So, the best place that you can be is in the shelter of the Most High and have that protection of Psalms 91 upon you and upon your family, and to be found being faithful, to be found being Christian, to be found, you know, what God requires of us as Christian soldiers. Does that make sense?
all sense in the world. I don't think it's going to happen on the 8th. And in Nineveh, it was in still 40 days, I'm going to destroy it if you don't repent. And I think it's probably the biggest light that's come on to warn the people. And they either got to heed it or not. I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he asked people if their pastor said anything about this eclipse. And none of them had. Hardly anybody knows about it, you know. And I've given that thing out to several people. But they have not heard about it. You watch the news, and they're all making a big deal out of it. They're going to have eclipse parties and all this stuff in all these different towns. But none of us never mentioned. It is, I think it's a big warning sign. I think you're right on it to the way to do it. But I don't think it is going to happen on the 8th.
I don't think it is either. I think that it, but I think it is a sign of repentance, and I think it's a good time for us to start repenting.
Yeah, he's a patient God. He gives us all the time in the world, you know. You look around, but you look at all these judges or women and black women and everything like that. This land is overrun with a stranger, and that's one of his curses, that the stranger will rule over you. And we're there, and we're down to the end. And he's angry. There's earthquake in New York City and stuff like that. He's, you know, he rattled the Statue of Liberty, you know. That stood for something one time, but it's shaky ground at the moment.
Yes, I agree. Well, and I know that the same thing, like what you said, Paul. I've talked to people that are traveling to. Some people are flying, and I talked to a lady the other day that was. She was driving, and a long ways away. She was going down down to southern Texas. Somewhere, and they were going down there to watch the eclipse and everything, and then started talking to her about it, and she really didn't know anything about it. She didn't know about the Ninevehs. She didn't know about the story of Nineveh, the story of Jonah, and it's like, I mean, you think that somebody, I mean, I thought that, you know, she told me that she was traveling down there. It was an elderly lady. I thought, okay, wow, she's probably got some information on this and probably knows what she's going down to see, going down to witness, and totally head in the sand.
That's just,
yes, I don't got to look up. I mean, I don't have to look up to see an eclipse because I know God's speaking. You know, it ain't like witnessing the eclipse or anything is that important, but it is a message to us as a people, especially ones that have ears to hear.
Well, apparently we got some prisoners that that are suing the government because they're going to be locked up during it, and they say it's a spiritual ritual for them. So I think I saw that the other day, and I'm like, well, just, wow.
Well, I mean, if you're already practicing Christianity and you know you have that covering over top of you, this really shouldn't be something that should be worrisome. I mean, to everybody else, you know, I can see how they'd get all fired up. You know, it just, as you guys have always heard me say, and as you guys say too, like, the key to all this stuff is repentance. And, you know, if you want to back off the wrath of God, I mean, it's repent. You gotta reeducate yourself and do things differently. I mean, that's what our mission is. That's what we're called to do, especially here in this group, you know, because we do have a deeper knowledge of the writings of the Bible, and we do have a better understanding of it. And, you know, it's always, the time is now to, like, be making the path straight for people. And, I mean, you can't make them walk down it, but it's basically is what I'm saying is, like, our job and our mission, it never deviates, no matter what's going on. I mean, if it's great times or horrible times or times are coming, I mean, we all know that there's cycles and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just the mission, our mission as Christian soldiers, it never changes. That's what's great about this book is, I mean, because we know we're sheep. We know that we're not exactly the sharpest tools in the shed. So, I mean, you can't deviate. So we just got to stay in our lane and keep speaking truth. And as time goes on, you know, what we are speaking, and then God will probably make evident by what we say, because, you know, we know, you know, what's the, what is the, what's the effect of sin? Well, we know, like what Paul just said earlier, we know that we get rejected from the land, all these things are going bad, debt, you know, we're the tail and not the head and all this other stuff. So, you know, our plan is, and our mission is still the same. So continue as normal for us.
Yes. Well, and I like the way that Pastor Peters put it in the message that we had. It was entitled Some Old and Some New, and just recently played that from the LaPorte Church of Christ. But in there, he had a quote, and it stuck out with me, and it's so simple and it's so profound. And he said, our survival is based on our repentance. Their survival is based on us not repenting. And that's why they work so hard at trying to get us not to repent, to keep us embonded in sin. Our enemies know that if Christians repent, it is to their destruction. And, you know, that's encouraging as well. But, I mean, it just, you know, is more confirmation that we're in need of it. You know, and if you're living your life right and you're doing, you might be saying, you know, I don't have anything to repent of. Well, you might not. I don't know. But I know you can pray for others, and you can pray for the spirit of repentance to come across the land as well. And for those that are caught up in sin, for them to break the bondage of sin and cut ties with their sins and, you know, turn back to Him.
That saying, you have nothing to repent of,
is not the height of arrogance, because everybody's got something to repent of. And even if it's not praying for other people, might be it if you're that good, but I certainly doubt if anybody's really that good that they ain't got something to repent of.
Amen. I agree.
Yeah, you need to ask for forgiveness for lack of humility at the very least, right? I mean, that you just think you're that great.
Well, I mean,
room for improvement.
Yes. You know, and I believe that, you know, one thing that, you know, we know what the greatest commandment is, and Pastor Peters always talked about, you know, how, you know, the greatest commandment very well is the most violated commandment, of just not loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and your soul. I mean, we know that we're commanded to do that, and how many people have done that? And you know, I was humbled when praying over a lady a long time ago, and, you know, I said, you know, as I asked her, I said, is there something in your life? And she wanted to repent of not loving the Lord or God with all her heart, mind, and soul. Says, I haven't done that. I need to repent of it. And boy, it hit me. And it's like, you know, I don't know how many people have done, but it was the first time that I'd have somebody actually confess it as a sin and say, I want to do that and want to get, you know, get on that road to loving God again.
Well, you know, if you think about what she confessed right there, by not doing that, that is basically opening the door to everything else. And it's the greatest one, and that's actually quite something for her to say that.
Yes, I would agree.
Zach, we see everything else out there.
I mean, that's the foundation of baptism of all. You say, hey, I'm a sinner. That's a confession right there, that very thing, and that's why a lot of people are reluctant to do it, because they don't want to admit they're sinners. But yeah, we are, and not one of us here is worthy of going through this fire, but we are going to because of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Tim, what are your thoughts?
Well, I wanted to bring out the fact that that lightning strike on, I just thought it was significant. I was doing a little bit of looking. I just found out about it last night, but I was looking at the earthquake, and the lightning strike happened the day before the earthquake, or, you know, at least it was reported the previous day. But there's a lot of comments out there in the world, especially among kind of the no community, that the Statue of Liberty is not a woman, it's Apollo. You know, and I was like, well, okay, let's have a look at this lightning thing. And so I went back and looked at Apollo there, and man, that's a whole kettle of fish. I mean, Apollo's got healing diseases. That was the, you know, small g god of what they were. They were the god of music. He was. And when you look at all that, when you look at all the things that they attributed to him, is he could bring ill health and disease with his arrows, you know, and would shoot those. And it's like, wow. I mean, it's just, there's just a whole bunch of stuff there that is significant. Another warning, perhaps, and I think the other warning that kind of goes along with it is, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, but you're talking about the Second Chance Passover, which is May 2nd. And I think it's interesting that Paul brought up the 40 days, because that was on my list too, Paul. But I think that what we're seeing there is God's giving you a second chance. It is about repentance. That's my opinion as well, this eclipse. And it's a Nineveh, the sign of Nineveh, which was a sign for repentance to, you know, get all of those that could be saved from the coming destruction to be saved. And you're getting a second chance of Passover within that 40-day window off of, you know, off of the eclipse. You know, 40 days till Nineveh fell, so on and so forth. But you've got your 30 days is inside that 40-day window opportunity. So if you have not participated in, you know, Passover, if you have not done that, you've got a second chance. Don't miss it. You know, I think it's that important. That's just my opinion on that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think that, you know, God always gives us second chances. If you fail a test, you get a chance to take it over. And there's been many a times when I've had to take the test over.
Oh, yeah. And we shouldn't be discouraged, like you said. We should be encouraged that we have the opportunity to do it again. So that's, you know, that's, I mean, that's not a discouragement that you failed it. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged that you get the opportunity to, you know, have another shot at it.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm encouraged about, I mean, just excited about life, excited about things that are happening, excited about things that we're doing. You know, I've talked with Zach and Josh, and, you know, we bounce things back and forth on each other, and we work on business plans, and we come up with this and things that we're doing in our lives and stuff. And it can be really exciting. And, you know, it just, I think the best thing, you know, best thing for me is just, you know, stay busy and stay focused. It's, you know, there's a saying going, you know, idle hands are the devil's playground. And I agree with that, because, you know, when you're not busy all the time, it's, you have these things that come into your head, and you get distracted.
Well, the Bible constantly tells us to fear not, and I think even when we think about some of this, that we have a touch of fear comes in here, but then when our faith overcomes it, we're back on course. But, these are big times coming down, you know, and it is humbling, and it should be humbling even to us. I mean, you know, no matter who you are, Abraham was faithful, Moses was faithful, you know, they all had their little problems, but they all came around and stayed on course, and that's for us. We got to stay on course, because something big is up, in my opinion, really big.
Well, yeah, you look at world events, you see it. World events, you know, like the Bible says, famines and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars, and we can point to things that those things are happening. Famines, wars in multiple places, and you know, the weather here, the Ohio River Valley flooding out again, the earthquakes that were mentioned, and not just the earthquakes, but like you said, Tim, the big lightning strike that caught a lot of people's attention there on the Statue of Liberty. And these things that are happening, we see them if the people would look in the Bible. Most of them don't, because the enemy knows to keep God's people busy with other things, so they don't look into the Word, so they don't know what's going on. But it sure seems that, and I'm in agreement, that's what this Eclipse is about. It's about Nineveh. It's about a sign of repentance from our gracious God. And it seems that people are because of it, are a little more receptive and are looking more to the Scriptures. Whether they got it all figured out, I mean, none of us do, but it is repentance is the bottom line. And like Paul, like you've said, and I think Zach too, you know, it's stay the course. What do we do? What do we do? We stay the course. You stay in prayer. You remain of sober spirit. You pray and repent and have eyes to see as much as possible. And you know, when we do what we're supposed to do, God is able to use us for greater things.
Well, it's cause and effect, and that's what it's going to boil down to.
The news media is doing a big job of diverting us, but, you know, what little I see of it, they're always having this town's having it, and it's never mentioned as Nineveh, but they're making a big deal out of it. Make sure you got your tinted glasses and all that stuff, but they're just really putting it on the thing, and I think it's a diversion to keep us from realizing it's Nineveh. Yeah, that's my take on it, because they're hitting it pretty big, which is pretty uncommon for an eclipse. So that's what I think.
Yeah.
When we talk about the fact that, you know, our job is to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, I think that's one of the, I can't give you a location on the in the Bible on it at the moment, but that comes to mind. But the point is you know, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can walk on the water. That was the way it worked for
Amen.
One of the apostles. Amen. But when you get distracted and you start gawking around and you get a little bit, hey, look at me, I'm walking on the water. You kind of sink, and you end up being saved or you know, lifted up. And so, it's one of those, you know, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on your Lord and Master, and keep on doing what you're supposed to be doing, right?
Well, what you said, keep your eyes on the Lord. You know, a little thing last winter I was doing, I walked back to my barn as a weight, little ways, and when I look at that door where I'm going, the line is straight. When I look at the ground, it wobbles all over, you know, and that's the what you just said, keep your eyes on the Lord as the straight line. You know, we're going to have adversities, you know, side things and stuff like that, but don't let them get you down. Don't be afraid when you're talking to your enemy, because that's their destruction. And this is where we're at. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord. There ain't no two ways about it, and this is what it's about, the whole thing. He's going to clean house. He's going to clean house big time. You know, the tares are not humble about anything. They're so blatant right now. I mean, if you can't see, they're a tear and destruction, you know. I seen something the other day, you know, they're having a big thing over impeaching Biden, but, you know, that's nothing but a diversion, too, because it's all diversions, if you even think about that for a second. I mean, they're so treasonous. They're so blatant. I mean, they don't hide it no more, and hopefully you can see it.
Amen. Well, and when he burns those tears, which one of us hasn't been close to? I mean, a lot of us have done cleanup work, I know. You know, and you end up with a big burn pile sometimes. You know, and it's really big. That's kind of like the tears. When you light the fire, and you can feel the heat off that fire for a long ways back. I mean, I've seen it hot enough you can't get very close. I mean, it's painful, and so I think that that's kind of a similar view of what we're seeing here. God's giving everybody the warning that things are getting piled up, things are getting identified. You know, the good's going on, the good's going over here, the refuse is going over there, and yeah, it's a kind of a repent or perish moment. I don't think there's much kind of to it, but I think that we're in that situation, and it's been going on for a while, but it's getting, you know, the focal point is becoming more refined and a tighter window all the time, as
because he's, it, you know, our Bible tells us he's not willing that any should perish, but there will be some. We know that. And he does have a remnant, and he's going to take care of them. We may have a little bit of a sunburn, though. So, you know, these things are coming.
Well, on a different note, too, I know that there's a lot of stuff going on, but one of the things that I thought was interesting was these just how upset the UN has been and over Israel's using basically artificial intelligence to target Palestinians. I don't know a lot about it, but I know that they're using AI to analyze data, neighborhoods, people, this and that, and basically letting a computer program decide on where some of these drone strikes are going to take place and who they're going to target. And there was several of the airstrikes this last week, and based on strictly AI. And it's like, wow, do you really want a computer making decisions like that? I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago the Terminator movies were a fictional thing, and it's really become reality in a lot of ways.
Oh, I've actually also what happened over there was they killed those 7-8 workers with it's like the International Kitchen Relief, you know, or whatever, and those guys are more professional and more well marked than the Red Cross. And they had been in touch, Israel knew where they were, and they shelled them anyway. And but things like this, and like what you said, Jason, they're starting to expose these Israeli lies for what they are, liars. They say, oh yes, we're not doing this, and they are. And they say they won't, and they do. But it's opening people's eyes when they're seeing, oh wait, this is supposed to be the apple of God's eye. These are God's chosen people doing that. That's what they've heard all their life, and they're seeing them as the barbarians they are, and it's causing conflict with a lot of people, and that's a good thing.
Real good.
I thought it was interesting that on the 3rd of April, which would be right before the earthquake, the day before the one that struck New York City, they had one strike Taiwan over there. And the interesting part about that was it basically really seriously damaged the plant over there that's making all the AI chips, or, you know, a large proportion of them. So
interesting.
Kind of shut them down. It's funny, AI thing, but I just think it's just always makes me amazed. The Lord works it all out. But this AI demand for data centers is another big thing in the trades over there in the in your summits and that type of business. But they're talking about the fact that the power grid's just not big enough to power these data warehouses. There's going to be so many data warehouses that this AI has to have a place to put all the data that it's going to harvest and collect. And so there's a one of the guys, Brian Venturo, said, quote, "The world is grossly underestimating how much AI demand will expand the need for data centers across North America and the world." So my question is why? I mean, it's just like, so... I have a pretty good idea why, but are they making new things, new smarts? Are they making new knowledge that we don't have? What do they need all the extra for? So it's kind of a, yeah.
Yeah, and I got a couple comments that came in, and it first one was from Derek up in Canada. And it says, the irony, the Antichrist not happy with the Antichrist. Unbelievable. And then I got another one that says, the godless Antichrist people who are using godless Antichrist technology to kill, steal, and destroy. I mean, exactly. I mean, well said.
Right on.
Well, it's when you're not focused on God, anything goes. I think you said that earlier, Zach, and that's what it is. Anything goes, and that's where it is. When you're apart from God, it's never ending, the depths of the evil.
No matter which way you cut this, they're talking about, Jason was talking about the AI, something that dropping bombs and stuff with those drones and stuff, and they're using AI to like make the decisions and all that. No matter which way you cut it, it goes back to people not studying to show themselves approved, and these preachers that are all across the world that are preaching Judeo-Christianity. Because had they preached properly about the covenants with Abraham in the Israelite story, the entire world, all of flesh, all of animals suffer because people don't know what is right, and they don't know the story. And if they actually knew that that maledictory oath had been fulfilled from that land because of God, Jesus buying Israel back, then there's no way anybody would believe that that country over there are Israelites. There is no way. There is no way. And it is just because people just want to be spoon-fed. They're more happy to believe lies. Like, I intentionally lied to this cat the other day just to see if he'd believe it. And he thought it was great. And then they told him the truth, and he didn't believe it. I mean, it's craziness. I don't know what's going on between people's ears. But, I mean, you test people. You test people. And you actually read them that covenant, those three covenants with Abraham. They won't believe it. But if you tell them that over there, and you explain the three covenants and how it's like, it's law. It's law. And you explain it to them. They can sit there and see it, and then they'll sit there and reject it. And it's out of the Word of God. But you tell them otherwise what everybody else believes, then they're down with that. I just don't understand. I mean, it's just infuriating for me to listen to stories like that with those Palestinians are getting thumped like that. I mean, that ain't right.
It's really good you don't understand, Zach. Really good.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. People are pretty self-centered, so, that's just the way it is, I guess.
Well, that's the whole issue right there. Who makes your rules? You or God? That's the whole issue. Most people think they're smarter than God. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Well, God is a man of God of vengeance. He said, bring him to my feet and slay them. I love destroying my people if they don't obey me. I mean, that's God. But that's the whole flip side of everybody's ever been told. He's just love, love, love. And Pastor Peter said years ago, the reason the way they hide their hate is they're talking about love all the time. But they are hateful. And if you go in one of these people houses and come up with this truth, then they will hate you because they don't like it. It ruffles their feathers. I've been through that. And the men of this country are a sad bunch.
Well, I said to one guy, I was like, because he happened to be talking about what's going on over there in the Middle East with the Israeli deal there, and I was like, they ain't got no business persecuting those Palestinians the way they are. And, he just a couple years ago went to Israel, and he did archaeological stuff, and, that's all fine and dandy, but when I pushed back and I told him that what's going on in the state of Israel, which I don't even like calling it that because we all know they're Edomites. When I pushed back on it, just the eyebrows raised, and they'll sit there and they'll talk about everything else. But, you can snip those guys out instantly, whether they've been trained or they're read up. And his eyebrows reined, and he literally rejected everything else I had to say. So I just stopped talking, And that's fine. He can think he knows better than me, but it's just sad. It's because their action in that teaching is what literally is destroying our culture. And, You look at Nineveh. You look at Nineveh. Like, Jonah shows up there out of a fish, and he gets them to repent. What did they do? They took God's system and put it in place where it should be as to how to run the country. That's what they did. That is what made them not get destroyed. That's what they did. And, you know, this, if they can do it, and, you know, they're Assyrian, then why can't any of these other preachers figure this stuff out? I know why, because if we repent, then they lose all their power. So,
exactly.
You know, train your children to be savages and to work hard and to do things honestly and to do things right, not to use unjust scales. And you and the world will flip in time. It might not happen in our lifetime. I mean, I don't really personally know anything about the eclipse. I mean, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I got to work hard. I got to train my kids to be awesome because I'm going to hand it off to them. And they need to do better than me. And, you know, let them other guys go down.
Well, and a couple things on AI, too. It was interesting. Bethel and AI were twin cities. The name AI means heap of ruins in the Bible. And AI, just, you know, interesting name, being used by the Antichrist. The loss at AI was due to the sin of Achan, and you can read about that in Joshua 7, 1 through 5. In direct defiance to God's commands to not keeping for themselves the wicked city of Jericho. And that's in Joshua 6:19. Nothing new under the sun, eh?
No, there is nothing new under the sun, because everything is wrong because of improper teaching, period.
Well, when the law leaves the church, the law leaves the world, and this is where, you know, that's back to what Zach said earlier, this is where it's at, Judeo-Christianity. You go back to the Reformation, the Jesuit priests, they were priests by day and they were murderers by night. They killed people left and right at night when nobody was looking, but they added, and that's still the same. Our enemies, we can tolerate people's difference of opinion, even their sin, you know, but they can't tolerate us. There's something about it. and that's one of our problems as sheep. We tolerate too much that we should never have tolerated. But this is where we're at because of intolerance and apathy. And this has been going on for over 100 years, and it's really coming to a head. So praise the Lord.
Well, and a lot of times, I just am always kind of surprised when I see this thing going on over there that we're talking about in Israel, Thailand. But you know, I don't understand. Both parties are wrong. That's the bottom line. And once again, they want me to choose the best of two evils, and I don't want to choose evil. I mean, I'm like, okay, I don't really care what happens to either one of you as far as that goes. I mean, that's God's department, not mine. So, and I think that it's just another time and treasure distraction for when we should be doing things that are much more important in the kingdom than and I think we see all that stuff go on all the time. It's just it's a bait and switch tactic that they've been doing on us for time immemorial. Like we said, there's nothing new. So that's the way I see a lot of those sort of things. It's like focus on Christ and get yourself there. Get yourself moving.
Yep. Yep, they're the ones that the Bible says if they live by the sword, they'll die by the sword, and that's exactly what they're doing. It was mentioned earlier, you got antichrists killing antichrists. And, you know, not that we want that to happen, but that's what's going on. That does kind of, I think, make people think.
Satan doesn't have a second's hesitation about destroying his own, so to speak, or his assets if it gets him what he wants. They're just fodder. So it doesn't matter
it doesn't matter to him. You know, our Father, he says, I want these good things for you. I want you to carry on. I want you to have all these blessings. They're only under the illusion that that might be possible there with the God that they serve, and it's not. So we don't, you know, if God wants that to go on over there, then that's it's not our concern. I mean, it's one of those. As a matter of fact, you would probably be amazed if we weren't willing to convert airtime and time and treasure and concern and attention to that matter over there, and how fast that would devolve and diffuse itself. Probably be just about overnight and be all gone. You know, so that's my view.
Well, you take the times in history of God, the enemies were coming after the Israelites, and he sent confusion into their camp, and they killed each other. Maybe that's exactly what's going on over there.
Very good point. And that leads you to ask, well, if we interfere with that, are we thwarting God's plan? Not that anybody could really do that, but you know what I'm saying. Are we putting ourselves against it? Are we extending that? Right. So there is a cost for stupidity.
Hey, guys, I got to step off. It was good being with you this morning. And, Richard, I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds Thanks, good. Zach. Yeah, there's a you look at the news and there's so many different things going on. I mean, and this week I know that this morning I seen one that was up in Michigan. I think this is up in your neck of the woods, Paul, but it was talking about an illegal that had went on a stabbing rampage and killed some people. They found his wife basically almost decapitated. And, that's not, I heard about some other ones that there was these illegals that were, went on a rape rampage. And, that happened over in New York. And then I think just outside of Chicago. I mean, it's like, you know, what do people expect? You know, and the people talk about, oh, how horrible it is, but, they're really not interested in, stopping the problem either.
Yeah, right.
No, I mean, just, you know, it talks about the perilous times in Matthew. I mean, they're here. I mean, you know, there's no law and order, period. You know, it's just bizarre.
The framework is just a perception of it. That's all. I mean, the only thing that really holds some of those guys in check is the perception that there once was, you know, or the ghost of the image of, they have no... No bail system, no jail system, no reprisals. They get paid to come in and sow their discord everywhere they go. They get, flown in, bussed in, shipped in. They get a phone, they get a credit card. Away they go. It's a lot of really bad things.
One of the things that's on the books here in Colorado, and it's coming up, but it's this new, you know, gun control, gun legislation and it's interesting because there's a lot of people even in the gun world, gun shops and stuff like that, that think it might pass, but it's something that none of the other states that I know have done before. And it basically, if when a person passes away, there's no way to transfer your firearms to your children. You can't give them as an inheritance. They go directly back to the state and to be destroyed. And it's something I haven't heard of any other states that have done that. Have you, Tim?
No, not that comes to mind.
Yeah, it's something that I think is brand new, but it's looking like that it might pass. I mean, you can basically they have a whole list of firearms, and what they call an assault weapon and what I call an assault weapon is a completely different deal. But I think an assault is an action. But in the state of Colorado, is what they want to do is they want to basically have a whole list of things that it's just, I mean, you can't transfer them. You can't sell them to a gun shop. You can't turn them in. You can't sell them, you know, privately. I remember back in the day, I mean, it was, man, back in the day we used to have some really good gun shows, and it was a big deal to be able to go down to Denver and go to the gun show. And me and Pastor Peters would, I mean, we had a blast going down there. And I remember when, you know, it used to be that they had private sales and you could just go there and you could, you didn't have to do paperwork. You could, you know, about half of the people there were dealers, licensed dealers, so you had to fill out paperwork on firearms, and about half of them were non-licensed dealers and just people that were, you know, buy, sell, trade, barter, whatever you want. They were coming up with this. I remember how we thought, oh my goodness, the world is changing. You know, they're going to require – and Colorado passed a law basically where if you were a dealer or you had a table at a gun show, you had to be a licensed dealer, and there was no private sale. And we thought – oh, the sky is falling. It was, I mean, it was, you know, something that was just crazy and foreign to us. And so we made several trips down there to the gun show and just, I mean, had a lot of fun. But and it's just how, you know, times have changed. And that was, oh, that was, you know, 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, they that's when that law went into effect. Wyoming still is a state where you can have private sale in even at a gun show, but Colorado is just boy, they're up in their game against these as far as their gun legislature is going, and really changing a lot of things. And I and the thing is I mean, I kept saying for the longest time, I'm like, there's no way that that's going to pass. There's no way that that's going to pass. And it's like, okay, well, you know what? It just might pass.
Well, here in Michigan now, you got a permit to buy ammo. That just went into effect here, to even to buy any ammo for anything, you know. So, yeah, it's happening. But, you know, we got to look, you know, we look what they're doing. We got to look the other way. What is God doing? He's putting us in a position where we have no way to turn but to him. That this is what's going on, as I see it. You know, you got to look at the bright side. I have learned to do that over the years. You look at the bad side for years and years, and it wasn't that fun to be around. You know, where's the joy? The gospel is the good news. And read Revelation. You need to see who wins.
Yeah. I like the way that, you know, Pastor Peters used to say it. It's really easy. You take your tongue and you put it at the top of your mouth and you say no.
Amen. Yeah, and I think that's one, something else that we're seeing is a call. We talk about their call for repentance and the call for a lot of things, and I think we see a call in the midst of all these things going on. Paul said it too. I mean, it's not like I'm saying, oh, this is a new thought, really, but more like a summary item. But it's kind of like the fact that we have men that are becoming more direct as a result of this with the no issue, with the, hey, by the way, no, we're not doing that. And we've got a lot of guys out there. I mean, we've all heard it. I'm tired of worrying about every little thing I do all the time. It's like, good grief, I can't do anything without, you know, somebody being triggered, somebody being offended, some, you know, some legality question, some. And it's like we were, I can always remember Pastor Peter and Peters and I talking one time about the fact that in the kingdom, what do you think the biggest thing's going to be? I mean, what are you going to notice the most? And I remember him saying, I think the freedom. I just don't think we're going to know how to act because we're just so boxed in to this. Well, somebody should this or should be something against that, you know, that, and it's just the freedom of being under God's liberty, God's law, and being able to do things that way. Under his authority. And, you know, I thought that was kind of a strange answer early on when I was younger, but as I've gotten older and as I've looked at it more broad spectrum, I think that's exactly correct. God talks about liberty, and it's not like doing the wrong thing. It's doing the right thing, but we're punished today for doing right. You know, we're punished today for
even thinking right. I mean, want to get banned off social media or something? Well, I just say too many things right. They'll put you in, what is it, Facebook jail or whatever. You know, I mean, you'll be out of it. You won't be able to talk. You won't, you know. So it's like, and really, a lot of the things that you can say on there that'll get you that way aren't all that militant or aren't all that drastic. It's kind of like, well, or are they? You know, that's the other question I would ask. Or are they? So anyways, we see that going on all around us. And I think that we're seeing a call to, for men to be men, women to be women, and to stand for the truth of God as we go forward. I think we're seeing a lot more of that go on. So.
Well, I was.
Real fast. You'll adjust real fast to freedom. Let me tell you a story. When I was a kid, we had a box full of Andy's calves, and you open the door and you think they'd want to get out of there. You couldn't hardly drive them out, but I'll tell you what, when you got them out, you couldn't get them back in. So you'll adjust to freedom real fast, Tim. You know how to do it.
Yeah, make it work, right? Exactly. Good point.
I was talking with somebody this week, and I mean, just I was kind of shocked. But if they were down in Florida and they were telling me about they had to get a hot water heater replaced, and talking about what an ordeal that was, I mean, I guess they do things a lot different in a lot of different places, but it's something that I was not aware of. But I didn't realize that it was one of those things that, well, you have to get, number one, you have to get a permit. You have to get a permit. It has to be professionally installed, and then you've got to get it inspected by a state inspector. And I was talking with him, I'm like, you can't go down there and to your Home Depot or your Lowe's or whatever you have out there and just buy a hot water heater. And they said, no, you can do that there. And it was just just different, and it doesn't seem like it's that far away. It was like, wow, okay. Interesting, but that's what I was thinking about. It's like, I mean, just, you know, but then you think about it, it's like, oh, we have to have a permit for this, and we have to have a permit for that. It's illegal to do it without the permit and without paying the fee, basically, you know, the tax.
It's all about money.
Yeah, it is. Amen. Well, we are just about out of time. We got closing thoughts, gentlemen.
Yeah, I got one thing to say. I want to read Ezekiel 39, verse 22. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord, their God, from that day forward. And that's right around the corner, in my opinion. You know, that's after coming through the valley of dry bones and all the stuff that happens. And but then Israel will know who I am. Forever. And see, we got a lot of people out there that ain't got a clue who they are, but they will know.
Amen. And that was Ezekiel what?
Yep.
Where was that scripture at, Paul?
Oh, Ezekiel 39, verse 22.
39:22. Okay. Well, yeah, and folks, I just want to encourage people to... to go ahead and make sure, if you didn't keep the Passover, it is important. It is a most important day. We've got a book that Pastor Peters wrote on it, and it's just a good one. Everybody should have one of those to go back as a reference guide. It's Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy on Calculating the Passover. And also, yesterday I did get a new prayer posted at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And it's a prayer for crying out, and a prayer of repentance. And encourage people to get this prayer, either go to the website, download it, print it, whatever you want to do. If you don't do that, contact us. We'll send it to you first class mail. I think that it is a good prayer that we need to be praying, especially in these times. And like Paul said, you know, it's. I don't believe that it's going to come on the 8th. I don't think that there's going to be. I think that there's an eclipse that's coming on the 8th. But other than that, I think it is a time of repentance, and I think people need to be working on that and praying for, you know, national repentance. And I believe that as we pray, pray. We need to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land, cry out to him, and, you know, just basically is what's been in my prayers is, you know, save us from the hands of our enemies, those that hate us, those that seek to destroy us, those that want his name blotted out from this land, deal with him as he sees fit. You know, let them be the ones that are removed from the land and, you know, off the land or under the land. And plain and simple. But I encourage people to be in prayer. And if you didn't keep the Passover, May 2nd is the makeup day for the Passover. And encourage people to do that as well. We've got our Passover service posted at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And, you know, encourage people to join us for church tomorrow. Go to scripturesforamerica.org. 10 o'clock Mountain Time, we'll be there. And thank you for being here today, Remnant. Thank you, man.
Thanks.
We have a free gift to give you of tremendous value.
You are the last
a gift that can change your life and open your eyes to the inside of world events and the present happenings in America. Listen on. You're listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Heard worldwide 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on satellite, at the website www.scripturesforamerica.org, and on radio. This tremendous outreach is made possible by the prayers and financial support of the faithful. If this includes you, we would like to send you this special gift of a 90-minute DVD entitled Roots, From Abraham to America. It's a part trailblazing TV program with Pastor Peters and fearless famed historian and archaeologist E. Raymond Capps, bringing history and a key to the kingdom, truth, that is purposely and maliciously being kept from you and your children. Truths concerning the biblical roots of the white people who settled America. In the 1960s, the question asked by a troubled generation of Caucasian children was, "Who am I?" This DVD gives the answer, back with proofs, arguments.